So happy Christmas to everyone.
Happy Christmas.
This is myself, Glenn Harold, and my wife, Nicola Harold.
Hello.
And we're going to answer questions that you've sent in to us on relationships.
Yeah, this is a one-off Christmas special.
So we thought we'd brave
it. See how it goes.
You know, these things are going to turn out, but we're going to give it a go. So the first question is from Helen Ann, and she's asked, do you think you and Nicola manifested each other? Over to you, baby.
Oh, yes, I do think we manifested each other, but I also think that we were meant to be. So I think when we talk about manifestation, it's not just about thinking, oh, okay, yeah, this is what I want, so I'm going to manifest this. I do believe I manifested a really amazing relationship, and you were the right person.
At the time,
At the time.
And we were both...
Still.
At the time, still, that's important. That's really important. Glad you said that. It's at the time when we were both single, we were both meditating at that time on attracting the right person. Someone who was, going to help us grow. We were good for each other, all of that stuff. So we were both doing that at the time.
Yeah.
And then we manifested each other.
Yeah.
And
I think we had a soul contract. So we were meant to meet. So do I think we met purely through our, desire to find someone and manifest? I think it's a two-way thing, because I think this is where the law of attraction for me can sometimes, that's the missing piece, because we can use the law of attraction, we can manifest something and work on that and meditate. But I feel like when it's divine too, when it's meant to be, when it's supposed to happen, when it's in your destiny, then there's a whole amazing energy that pushes that to happen.
That's a really good point, because when we first got together, it was, we're going to go into Margaret's question on this. She said, how did the two of you meet up? And it was one of those things where it kept coming back to each other. So it wasn't...
And for years.
Because in case the viewers haven't noticed, there is a little bit of an age gap.
I hope they've noticed.
Some might not.
I'm very upset.
I live in hope. Because of that, it wasn't an instant thing. It was something that we were friends first, weren't we? Yeah.
The spiritual connection was very instant.
Wasn't it?
But there were events that happened for years leading up to us meeting, weren't there?
So yeah. Do you want
to? I'll explain. So when I was a teenager, I was really unwell, and I used to listen to a lovely meditation. Healing white light meditation.
Healing white light, yeah. She actually downloaded it on a shareware free site.
Yeah.
So didn't pay for it, did you?
No.
Wicked woman. So,
watch out well for you though, so don't worry. But I didn't know that it was Glenn's recording. And then years later, I was in a bookstore and there was a display of meditation CDs in the background. And I said to my mum, something's telling me to buy that CD. It was Manifesting Your Goals and Dreams. And so I did. I bought it. I listened. I recognized Glenn's voice. Because when I downloaded the one illegally when I was a teenager, didn't have Glenn's name. So I didn't know that it was you. Obviously could, connect the dots. It was your voice. Knew it was you. And then there were just events like that, weren't there, that then led to us meeting.
Yeah, and we just kept, and then we'd sort of, we didn't start dating straight away. We were mates for a while, and then we just kept coming back together. And I was off in Australia for Christmas that year, and we had like 3 months apart, didn't we, at that point? And we weren't even dating at that point, but we started messaging each other and realised that we'd kind of fallen for each other. And then when I came back, it was like, it really took off, didn't it?
It really took, I think, because...
So the gap gave us that clarity, didn't it?
But when we met, there was an instant spiritual connection. I was almost a qualified hypnotherapist anyway, so I was, we had that in common. We were both vegetarian, we both had the same values and beliefs spiritually, so... On that level, it really was like a soul recognition. I really felt like we recognised each other.
And also
in
we
that
feel,
way.
Yeah, we've got two kids now, two beautiful kids. And, we often say that we feel that they were almost pulling us together.
Yeah, definitely. There was a destiny. There was like a way, there was a path that was meant for us. But what we had to, well, I feel like what I had to overcome in order for us to be together was the fear around what other people would think, because I really cared what other people would think. And I thought, you know, it was such a huge age gap, and I was still young, like very young as well. So
you were an old soul, weren't you?
Oh, an old soul for sure. And I knew that, and I was ready to settle down and meet the one. In fact, we actually broke up with people on the same day. Do you remember? Before we started talking online, we both had been seeing other people, nothing serious, but we both broke that off on the same day. And I remember saying to someone, I'm just fed up with this, like, you know, this dating back and forth. Like, I'm ready to meet the one now. And then the next day, we started speaking. So, but there were a lot of events and things that happened to lead us to where we were, you know, at that time. And then we just had to break it down a little bit.
And we were both, had been on the spiritual path for a long time. So we had that awareness, and we were, you know, when we were getting the signs, because we were conscious, we were able to
recognize them
and follow them. So that was a big part of it. I think, you know, if you're looking to connect with somebody, that the spiritual aspect of it, that's the most important part, because if you're both in alignment in that way, then the connections happen very naturally and easily. Mm-hmm. And that was certainly the case with us.
You have to be open to it, don't you?
So Erica is saying, hi Glenn and Nicola, my question is, what are the top three things that make your relationship successful? What would we say the top three things? I mean, I think honesty and laughter and communication. Yeah. I would say those three things.
Definitely. Consciousness for me is number one.
Yeah, consciousness.
Because when you're conscious of yourself, I mean, that changes everything, because so often I feel like people go into relationships and we trigger each other. I think no matter how like healed you are, we still trigger each other now at times.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've been together now for, oh my God, almost 14 years since we met, which is just insane. But when you have that consciousness, and by that I mean you truly understand yourself and who you are and your shadow as well as your good, I think when you just know what you're bringing and what your part is in the relationship, you can then come together, and any triggers, anything you trigger in each other, they become your biggest lesson. So I think for us, what we've done really well is when we've triggered each other, we've looked at ourself, the other person, we've looked at the higher perspective, like what is this teaching us, like what is there to know, and I mean, I feel like then we've learned from that.
Both being therapists, you do tend to do that. We can, you know, something keeps coming up, it's a repetitive thing, then pattern. You look at, you know, your part in it, what's that triggering inside, you know. And we had a really good friend that we worked with back when we lived in Spain, a gentleman called Richard, who actually was the...
He married us,
yeah. He was so instrumental in our relationship because we were, you know, we had a period where we were having a tough time. You know, it was a few years in and we were, you know, having a lot of rows and barnies. And it was at that time, Richard really gave us some clarity, and he said, you know, he actually said to me after we'd had a big row, he said, I've never seen two people more meant to be together than you two. And I thought, this man's crazy. He doesn't understand. We're driving each other nuts. But what he was saying is that if you do the medicine, if you take the medicine from what's going on and you heal what's triggering inside of you, you will both come into this much greater place where you're, you know, it's more of a conscious relationship. And we took that. We took that medicine, that advice, and we worked on it together. And we have, and we've come into this sort of really much more happy, abundant, prosperous, you know, loving relationship. You know, it was there waiting for us on the other side. You know, it could have pulled us apart at times, but it did the opposite because we went deep with it and we cleared what needed to be cleared.
Yeah.
And we've come into a much nicer place. And
I think that's the difference between a conscious relationship and a toxic one.
Yeah.
Not every toxic relationship can be conscious. Some relationships just don't work, and sometimes people are just, I believe, just toxic for each other. But, you know, with us, that was always the difference. We were always aware of the our ultimate, I don't know if you want to use the word goal, but you know, it was sacred union where we can really be in harmony, the masculine, the feminine, and have that lovely harmony. And so because we were very conscious, and a part of that, I think a big part of that is on your own journey as well, because you're not just a couple, you are individuals. And then when one of you grow, you know, you're going to grow together, because if you don't, you grow apart. And there have been times where you've propelled me forward, and then times, I think probably in the later stages of our relationship, more recently, where I've propelled you forward. And so when you're viewing your relationship like that and you move forward together, then so for me, consciousness is the first thing. Definitely fun and laughter. We laugh every day.
We are two Londoners. I'm from Balham, West London. Nicola is from East London, born in Barking. So it's West End boy, East End girl, isn't it? And we do take the piss out of each other because we're Londoners. That's what we do. You know, Londoners do that. And we do. We like to, you know, rib each other. So yeah, that's a big part of it. You know,
we're
you've got
friends as well, mates, as well as lovers. You know, our husband and wife and partners in many different ways. We have. We said it with the other day. It was Friday night, and we'd just been shopping to the supermarket. You know, done our food shop, come back. I had the music on, and we were there with the kids, and we were just like having a laugh. And there was nowhere else that I would have wanted to be in that moment. I felt completely fulfilled. Because it really was, you know, to me, that's true happiness when you can be happy doing nothing but just being with each other and, you know, just having a laugh.
We've had that this weekend, haven't we? The two, two little boys, you know, we've just, there's nothing better, you know. I've had some amazing experiences in life, but there's nothing better than the family unit when you're all solid. You know, the kids are 7 and 9 now coming up. 7 and 9. And so it's the harder years are out the way, and the kids are growing up, and we're having lots more fun, more interaction with them. So we're kind of reaping the rewards in the relationship and everything we've done in the past and worked on. We're kind of reaping that
real golden time.
It's that delayed gratification thing. You know, you do the work early on, and you do the clearing, the healing, and then the reward comes later on. And we kind of, we feel like we're coming into that, you know. And yeah, it's beautiful. It's a lovely place to be, isn't it?
So I say consciousness, fun, and I mean, for me, like
friendship as well.
Friendship for sure. But one other thing, like the adventure. That's what I love about us: that adventure and that zest for life. We both share that zest for life. So, you know, life is never boring. You know, even within that content, like we're very content, and it can be simple. It doesn't have to be, you know, anything drastic. But I feel like because we as characters are quite similar in the sense that we do, we just want to live life to the fullest. So I think that is, that keeps our relationship really exciting and vibrant and alive.
Too. And that's it. You've got to do that. You've got to do that. You've both got to do that work to keep it.
Yeah, you do. Definitely.
To keep it fun and exciting. And and we've had a few questions on like a cure for loneliness. You know, people, you know, on their own and struggling and looking to find a partner. And I would say, you know, we go back to what we talked about earlier, where we were both, when we were single, we were both projecting out to the universe, you know, that we wanted to attract someone that was really good for us on a soul level, and that also we'd be good for them on a soul level, and we'd be able to grow together. So we both had that same vision, that goal. And then when we did meet, you know, we just kept coming back.
Then you recognize each other.
We recognized it, yeah. So that's a really important thing. If you're single and you're struggling and you want to find that soulmate or the twin flame, then it's really important to project out there, be crystal clear about what you want to attract.
Can I say one thing on that? Because that was really, I read an amazing book a couple of years before I met you. It was called Let Love Find You. I think it was John Selby was the author. And it was an amazing book, which was about meeting, like finding a relationship or attracting a relationship, but from a place of completion within. So a lot of the book talks about becoming whole within yourself. And then there's a beautiful meditation where you really, you send your love, your energy out into the universe to touch that of the person you're supposed to be with. And that's supposed to draw them closer. And, you know, and I was doing that meditation a lot before, you know, meeting you. But I always felt like if somebody asks me, if I have a client and they ask for, you know, they want to attract a relationship, that book for me is very, it resonates with what I believe and what I've experienced in meeting you.
Mm. So what's,
you
know, that called,
it's
become, that book?
It's called Let Love Find You by John Selby. Okay. I hope it's still available.
So we'll put it,
I imagine,
on the link,
it's quite
below.
An old book. Mm.
Yeah.
But it was, it's beautiful because then you can also learn to almost give yourself what you need. So I've done this work with clients in the past where they've felt really lonely or really wanting that relationship. And, you know, so for example, if that client of mine was female and she was just wanting that masculine energy, you know, there are meditations you can do where you just imagine that masculine, whether it's that masculine energy wrapping his arms around you, making you feel loved. And maybe that would be a nice meditation for you to do one day on loneliness.
Definitely, yeah. To create one, yeah. I'd love to do that. That seems to be like a popular theme here.
Yeah.
We had a question from Buddy Love. What happened in your last relationship? I think he's asking me that. I got divorced. What do you think? I'm a bigamist. Buddy knew my ex-wife Ali, so that's why he's asking that question. Yeah, so it came to a conclusion. You know, relationships, sometimes they run a course. And, you know, it can be painful when that happens, when it comes to an end. But sometimes it is a divine contract that your, you know, connection has run its course. And that's kind of what happened.
And it was before me. Good.
It was, yeah. It was a
me,
clean
so
break.
Yeah,
it wasn't
nothing
dodgy going on there. So don't worry, buddy. It's all good. All above board. He's checking me out, isn't he?
Yeah.
So we were talking, Nicola was talking there about the divine feminine, divine masculine, and it's kind of a subject that's come a little bit, it's come into the zeitgeist a little bit because there's a lot of talk about it. People are realizing that, you know, when men are in their masculine power and when women are in their feminine power, that's when we're at our true, you know, our best, our ultimate. And you know, there's a lot going on in the world that's making men, taking men out of their masculine and taking women into their masculine, which is creating this
imbalance
in relationships.
Mm.
And you know,
you
know, we were talking earlier, you know, have helped each other and pulled each other forward, and you've really been immersed in the feminine, the goddess work, and I've really loved that and admired that in your, you know, what you do. And because of that, you've kind of showed me how important it is to, you know, focus on the masculine for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been doing work on that and reading and learning a lot more about that, and it's a fascinating subject.
Mm.
Because you know, in our relationship now, I'm much more in my masculine, not that I ever wasn't.
No,
but,
no,
but,
it's,
you know,
not black and white,
it's
more energetic.
More conscious.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think
I'm
it's
more conscious.
Energetic,
and you're fully in your feminine, so we've got that nice polarity and that balance. But an interesting thing, Nicola was helping me with some work and it brought her more into her masculine.
Mm.
Because she was left, you know, in her left brain and doing this kind of work. And we noticed there was a little bit of an imbalance crept in.
It completely changed the dynamic of
yeah.
our relationship, because it's one thing if I'm working on something that makes me feel passionate. So if I was like writing a book or, you know, that's still me and my feminine energy. Whereas the work that I was doing for Glenn's company, it was more, I mean, it was that, wasn't it? It was very... you know, masculine in nature, so it was requiring me to be in that do, go, let's problem solve. And it completely changed the dynamic in our relationship, because we went from being, you know, lovers where, you know, let's say Glenn was had a bad day at work or was a little bit stressed, you know, he would come to me and it would be my feminine energy that, you know, nurtured you or nourished you, and we'd, you know, we just relax or go to bed early, listen to some music and just be with each other and things like that. It became, when I then started working for you, we became like partners, the business partners.
Mm.
And because I do like that kind of work as well, so because I like it, it doesn't mean it's necessarily for my highest good, though. That was a huge lesson for me, because I was enjoying doing the work. The work itself wasn't stressing me out, but it was causing this imbalance. And so we had to decide, you know, what we wanted more. And obviously what we prioritise is being married,
the
and
thing we,
lovers
The thing
first.
We did, the consciousness came and we said, yeah. Well, this is, we noticed it quickly, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we said,
just
right, you know.
Changed everything.
You kind of get back to your feminine, back to my masculine, and that solidity that makes the relationship work. And we did
so
that.
Important.
So we recognised it because we're conscious and we saw it, and then we made that shift and we're back in a great place.
But for me, it was really difficult, like on a personal level, that's what surprised me. It was really difficult for me to let go of that, because I actually enjoyed the work, didn't I? You know, and I enjoyed the
And you were good at
problem
it as
solving.
Well.
Yeah, because I do have that kind of mind that enjoys that sort of work. I was so surprised at how it, even health wise, I was tired all the time, and I was like, what is going on? Like, something's not right. And because I am very in tune with myself, which is a very feminine trait, you know, to know yourself and understand where you're at and how you're feeling, I could tell that something was just off. But it was quite hard to let go of that, because to be in your feminine, it requires you to surrender to the masculine, and that's not always easy. You know, you have to feel really safe and really held by the masculine, and you know, that's quite a deep, you know, that's quite a deep
true,
subject,
isn't it? Because if a man's not in his power, if he's not strong and he's not a good provider, then the woman doesn't feel safe. So yes, we're, as men, we've got to step up, and we've got to be that protector, provider. And you know, it works then, doesn't it? You know, you trust, you can surrender then,
yeah.
Can't you?
And also, I think the masculine is kind of the same. The energy level is usually like the same every day. You have like more of like a 24-hour cycle. Whereas for women, we are up and down. We are like the waves. We are more like water. But that's our power. And so that, for me, I mean, I feel very blessed, because I have, you know, we have that kind of lifestyle where I am free to, I guess, you know, being that, you know, I haven't got to, you know, get up in the morning and get on a train into London and do a corporate job. And I know some people are in that situation. So I'm not saying, oh, everyone should just, you know, it's just different, isn't it? It depends on your unique situation.
Yeah.
But to have time to surrender and to let go. And I think in a relationship, you know, if you've got a really masculine man and a really feminine woman, you're so drawn to that. You know, the masculine is attracted to the feminine.
And it keeps the spark, doesn't it?
It keeps the spark.
You know, because it's so, you know, so it's the biggest thing in relationships, that
become
you lose the spark, you lose the chemistry.
Friends.
Yeah,
yeah,
you become brother and
you become
sister.
Life,
you know, but
partners only.
If you've got that polarity, then the spark is still there, the fun, the zest,
the life, like
yeah,
the life to it,
the
yeah,
sexy times.
Exactly.
Your mum's not listening, is she?
Yeah, she will be.
It's all that though, isn't it? It's that, you know, great polarity and the spark and the chemistry that makes it work. But you have to work on it. You have to do the work. You have to have the consciousness.
That's where the consciousness comes in though. And that's why I feel like we're where we are, because we could tell, hang in a minute, like we're getting a little bit like niggly, weren't we? With each other. It's like, oh, this is not like, why, like what's going on?
Yeah,
because on paper it looks like, oh, I'm just doing a couple of hours work, and but what it was, I came into your world.
Yeah.
And so instead of being, you know, you really in your masculine, me really in my feminine, I was becoming more in my masculine. And then you start to like you know, repel these two. We weren't repelling each other, but our energies weren't in harmony.
Yeah.
And so that, I mean, I think that's been like a huge,
it's been a
revelation,
massive,
for us.
At the point we're at now, it's been a real awakening, isn't it? You know, more so. Consciousness is an interesting thing, isn't it? Because you're never fully conscious. You're just on the journey to enlightenment, complete enlightenment. And we're all on a different part of that journey. And, you know, we've been on that path for 20 years where we've been working on ourselves, meditating, you know, experiencing plant medicines, things like that, that
deep
have expanded
healing,
our consciousness,
yeah,
deep healing.
Before we met as well, which
and
is quite key.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And together we've done so much of that, you know, a lot of that. So we're having that consciousness just helps the relationship. And we're both strong characters as well, full-on characters, you know, clear ideas about what we want. And so, you know, it's so important in a relationship like ours that you have that consciousness and you can look at your own shadow and that kind of thing, because
yeah,
it's what keeps it alive and fresh and you know, exciting. I think
it's having that awareness of what you bring, all of it, your shadow, but also the good that you bring as well, because then you see sometimes people in a relationship, they don't know their own worth, and so they go into that relationship and they don't actually know what they bring. So I think it's just really good to know, and I feel like you know what you bring, mm-hmm. and I know what I bring, mm-hmm. and so we see there's that lovely equal, there's not one of us that feels like, oh God, you know, oh God, I'm, you know, we feel lucky and blessed to have each other, yeah. but we feel equal, yeah, I'd say, as
definitely.
Well.
100%, you know, and you think we started from, you know, a point of, you know, you were 22 when I met,
yeah.
we met, and I was 49, and so it was kind of, you know, there was an imbalance then. 48. So 48, was I? 48, yeah.
47,
48. Don't age myself. Yeah. Yeah, so there was that big age gap. So starting from that point, there was like an imbalance, and, mm-hmm. you know, but through the work we've done together and on our consciousness, there is no imbalance now. It's like we're, you know, very conscious and in tune with each other. Mm. And so, yeah, that's what makes it work, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, I think someone mentioned something as well about relationships and how a lot of the time there you lose your free will and there's a lot of like rules, and that's it. It's just like the rules and the agreement. And we were having a conversation about this because we were saying, you know, that element of free will and the freedom that you have when you get married, you know, for me, just how I feel like there's two sides, because when you get married, you're committing to the marriage, and it's a balance between, you don't lose yourself, you know, your path, your growth, your passions are still incredibly important and need to be, I think, like respected by each other, but at the same time you can't just do what you want because you do have a partner and a, you know, a family to think about. And we've been in situations, haven't we, where, you know, you might have had an opportunity to go somewhere or and do something, but you haven't done it because it wouldn't have been for the highest good for us as a family.
And it's also what you prioritise, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, the priority, you know, nothing is more fulfilling than having a happily family unit where you're fulfilled and you're growing and you're thriving. And, you know, it's that thing. Sometimes, like you said earlier, you know, just the simplicity of hanging out together and just doing simple stuff is much more rewarding than, I don't know, being in a nightclub in Villa Mora down the coast, you know. And, you know, it's all that kind of thing, isn't it? So it's what you prioritise, where you put your attention.
That's so true. That is so true. Because also I think a lot of people will say, oh, we don't have time. We don't have time to be with each other. We don't have time for romance. You know, at the minute, life is just requiring us to work, work, work. You know, we moved to Spain when Eden was one, and then I was pregnant with Noah. So for the first couple of years, it was so full on, and we had no family, no nanny, I mean, no help. It was really hard work. So I couldn't really go out, could I? So we couldn't go off on a date, we couldn't do that, but I still feel like the moments we did have, we were able to maintain that sense of like togetherness as a couple as well. And I think you do have to prioritize, even if it's a half an hour walk, for example, just do that, but do it together and don't talk about work or stuff. Just be with each other,
just hang out and be
just
mates.
Hang out, yeah. And lovers and just be with each other and, you know, set yourself boundaries, because it's so easy to settle into that routine life part. Oh yeah, okay, you're dealing with this, I'm dealing with this, and then you become like just partners. That's one element to
it.
You
can slowly go down a, you know, unfulfilling road, can't you, where you start resenting each other, that kind of thing. So kind of 30 minutes in, we said we were going to do 30 minutes, didn't we? Shall we say goodbye and wish everyone Merry Christmas? So yeah, this was our first podcast. We've kind of done it on the fly, and if you've got any questions, then post them below and we'll do another one, because it's nice to talk, isn't it? It's good to talk. One of my sons, when Lee was at school, he said one of his mates was getting told off by the teacher And there was that slogan around at the time. It was an advertising. He said, it's good to talk. And the kid said, it's good to talk. And it is.
It is.
Bring everything out to the surface and it's good fun. So, yeah. So, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful Christmas and New Year. And we're off to Spain, aren't we, for a few weeks?
We are.
Over there and have some adventures and fun. That's what it's all about. So, thank you.
Take care. Bye.